name is John Moore, and I'm an Indianapolis artist, and I work with Urban Patch on community projects.
I'm Amy Carroll. I'm an artist. I'm a City County Council appointee.
I'm a member of the City Council. I'm appointed by the City Council.
Lee Riley Evans, appointed by the Arts Council, a community builder, and executive for the Indianapolis Foundation. And you'll notice there's also a vacancy, as well as one member that will still be coming, Ramon Morrison. But the vacancy on the committee is due to Chantal Moore resigning September 17th. Chantal Marr, sorry. She was a mayor's office appointee, and so we're still waiting on them to provide a name for her replacement. We're also joined this afternoon by Julia Moore, our Arts Council staff liaison, Emily Scott, who wears our DMD, or Department of Metropolitan Development, city liaison, is not able to make it for us this evening. But is there anyone else here from DMD? Yes, could you introduce yourself?
My name is Sherry Orr, and I work with Emily in the Economic Incentives Division for the city, DMD.
Thank you. All right, so we'll begin today's meeting with a few old items of business, starting with there currently is $0 in the fund. In December 23, all those funds were appropriated from DMD to the Arts Council so that we can make the public arts for name the grant awards. There have been no new developer contributions received since that December date. Any questions? All right, so we're also going to be looking into changes to the ordinance. As I mentioned, it's nearly 10 years old. We have a special meeting on September 18th to review the current public arts protective ordinance, discuss changes that have been advisable to make sure that we're reaching our goals more closely. And right now, we're still working. We're very much in early stages, just understanding who and how people will be involved, forming a strategy that will include necessary stakeholders, developers, council representatives, prior to actually drafting anything. There will be others involved. So we're hoping that all these steps, including the full City County Council process, will be completed by the end of this year. But
next year.
Oh, excuse me.
You're in
2025. I'm still in 2025. So completed by the end of 2025, but we're definitely open to ideas that could push us into the beginning of 2026. In time to officially celebrate that 10-year anniversary. So, any additional changes? Yeah, so Julie and Emily are leading the technical aspects of this process, and the committee will continue to be engaged as each of you want to be. So please let Julia know if you want to be, at what level and how extensively you want to be engaged. But keep in mind that if two or more committee members speak about committee business, it has to be a publicly accessible meeting. So we hope to assemble our working team before the holidays of this year and launch the process in earnest in February. The next old business is just an update of previously approved projects. Julie's going to provide us with a report of that.
Thank you. So the first one is Pre-Bloom. This is for the Rise on Radiant project on the Old South Side. This project was installed and there's a ribbon cutting on August 28th. The developer has provided their financial verification that they met their required expenditure, and the project has been accepted, so this is completed. It looks amazing. When I last saw it, they have the lighting wrapped in, they just don't have the fixtures in, and they still have to have a sign, and then they will continue to maintain it for the life of the building. So it's very nice, very close to the bridge. So you'll recall that you approved in April 2023 this project for the new Capitol Avenue entrance at the Studs. It's titled I-65-I-70 Rift, and it is mostly installed. So they're in the process of installing it. They're planning the ribbon cutting in November, and I'll make sure that you guys all get an invitation. This project that you approved in April for Buckingham at 96 it's in path fabrication, the material has been cut and is being assembled, and the power has been marked and pulled on site, so it's very ready. And they anticipate installation in January or February of next year.
All right, thank you, Jordan. Does anyone on the committee have any questions about any of those projects in process? All right, so this time let's turn our report
dedication ceremony was August 3rd. I attended, and two of the portrait subjects, the donor in the center and the young girl in the upper right, were there, and they were very excited. If you've never been to the Eagle Library, it's brand new, and a lot of artwork in it, and they're working with the Global Village Welcome Center just a couple blocks away to build that library with art, which is really amazing. There it is. In September, I visited Aspire House to see how they were coming along on their Alley Art project, and I got a tour, and I met several of their staff members. This is one of their artists, who's Maya Simone. He showed me this gate installation where they actually worked with a private property owner to get that done. And then she showed me several other projects. This is proceeding well. All of the funded elements will be finished soon, but they did tell me that they're always getting funding. The alley is always going to be a work in progress, and will continue to develop as time goes on. Remember the Tri-Views Foundation? They were the ones with the painted birdhouses, but they were upgrading the birdhouses in the community. They had their event on October 12th, and I attended. You know, a lot of people there, all of you seem to be having a good time. They put a picnic out there. They have several lots and sites that are all in the neighborhood. And they, it is now complete. That's it.
Was there another set of birdhouses?
There is. There's another. So these two were across the street from each other, and then there was another set that was like over on Keystone. Let me tell you about this. So, Tarkington Park, this is our collaboration with the MLK Center. They're doing this mural at Tarkington Park with Box the Artist. They have their community paint day on October 12th. I went there, but they had already wrapped up by the time I got there. But I got some thoughts about the process, and painting is continuing. So, I'm going to go back and talk about, there it is. So this past Saturday, on October 19th, I attended the Hiawatha Center's Community Day, which incorporated the Melanie Lackwitz's Cadre Street Art Graffiti Expo. There's Melanie, this is what it's done. They had all these tables set up where you could experiment with different techniques. They had people that were there that were assigned to certain spots, and then they had a couple of free walls for people to work on. And everybody looked like they were having fun. They had a taco truck. Apparently they had Ethiopian food, but they're not ready when I was there. But anyway, her project is also complete.
Okay. Exciting developments.
Yeah.
If anybody have any questions, it's so cool to actually see this stuff
come from idea and molding to execution.
Okay. Any other old business? Hearing that, let's move on to our new business. And today, hear about a new way that the Arts Council has refashioned the existing Public Arts Enablement Grant, set aside for traffic signal boxes. And they will have two presentations on developers. Both of those are going to need votes from you to approve in order to proceed. Then we will get to a reason that the majority of the crowd is here today to actually review the Public Arts Enablement Grant application. Scoring them will be a precursor to actually awarding those funds. And we have 22 grant applications to review. There were so many that, like I mentioned earlier, we decided to split up our review process into two nights, and we'll come back November 6th to do that. As you may recall, we earlier earmarked $15,000 of the Public Arts Enablement Fund specifically for traffic signal box art. And we did this because it was a way for communities to fund a very popular project type without being in competition for larger requests. And so the Arts Council also independently applied for a micro grant that was approved for $7,500. So now there's a little over $22,500 to be exact, available for these traffic signal box projects. And so because we had two rounds, we only received two requests for the traffic signal box project, and both of those requests exceeded the maximum of $750 per grant for the set aside funding. The committee has opted to enter into the larger Public Arts for Neighborhood application pool,
then the partnership will work with the community on the project to help them manage the process of finding artists, developing designs, doing what's necessary to obtain the permits from the city, and then in addition, the Arts Council will pay the artists directly, whatever those fees are going to be. So communities can include several boxes in their project as long as they explain how the boxes relate to each other. And this partnership launched officially October 2nd, and it will remain open until all of those funds are spent. And because the Gartsburg neighborhood is the primary source of funds, and because we have to approve the distribution of those funds, we're going to review the partnership proposals, recommend partners for the Arts Council to work with, and we'll start that first review next quarter, first quarter of 2025. So that'll be a part of our February meeting. And we report right now from the Arts Council that there's 6 applications that have already been started, so we'll review those then. And about 20 to 25 partnerships will be able to sustain this funding, so it's likely it will take us through all of next year to get that done.
Is there anything that you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. Just to remember, this is, it's not a grant, it's a partnership. No money will actually go to the partner. The Arts Council will pay the artist directly for those practicing funds. Well, we did receive one public comment about this. So this is from Daylin Eads. I would like to advocate for the selected project proposals. This community member checked off the number of proposals, so you'll hear this several times this evening. I'm familiar with each of the following artists and their businesses. I know them to be fair, equitable, and reputable. I hope to see more funding go to individual artists and nonprofits rather than large corporations.
So let's go to our next business, which is actually the developer public art form used. We're going to start with what Lee Lanko. You may recall we talked about this project at our July meeting, heard the background of the project, learned about how the artist was selected. So this time we're going to hear about the artist design. And just more details of the project that we planned.
Thank you.
Okay. Am I going to start?
Okay.
Mindy, thanks for this opportunity to come back. Dave Gennard, I have responsibility for human resources, communication, administration, and health. And part of my responsibility includes being the executive sponsor for the building of the new headquarters. We take very seriously this opportunity we have to invest in public art, so seriously that we engage with experts in Indian and to help us understand both the range of possibilities, but something that would be really in a way to connect with the community, which is very important to us, have something iconic for the city and the state, but also have a symbolic power to it as it relates to what we're doing in animal health, but also the One Health Innovation District. And I think you're going to see, with their help and working with the artist who we had an opportunity to meet with a few weeks ago who came through here, there is power in connecting the water, and of course there's a connection to the river, and you'll see themes of tributaries and water that brings together communities. Water being a powerful source for life, critical to life. You're going to see a theme related to DNA, the double helix, and that being the basis of biological scientific research. And then also a splash, I guess is what I'm describing it. There's kind of a catalytic moment that connects to innovation. So we hope you'll agree with us, this is going to be a great opportunity. And as Mindy is talking, I'm going to pass around for you to feel a little up close and personal, because the artist who came gave a little sample of kind of what he does, and you'll get a feel for its weight and its density as we're talking. But that's me.
I feel like Dave's doing so well talking about therapy. Thanks, everybody. Happy to be back. I'm going to run through the first portion of this presentation that at this point has both been out for public consumption, has been through the committee, and then also when we introduced ourselves this summer, some of this first part we went through. But just to remind everyone that there has been kind of a thoughtful and intentional process that has led us to the proposal
that we're reviewing tonight. I'm Mindy Taylor Ross. I am the owner and chief curator of Art Strategies, proudly a woman-owned business that's been headquartered here in Central Indiana for 20 years. These are my things I've done, including curating the Indianapolis Cultural Trail during original design and construction. I've produced multiple temporary exhibitions of art in downtown Indianapolis that resulted in the Tom Modernist sculptures outside the Indiana Convention Center and dancing on Mass Avenue, among other things. I now curate privately for people, for corporations, and also for municipalities. Happily, my colleague, Ian Surak, is also here, who has worked on this project and has been working with Art Strategies about 2.5 years, and has also been an independent curator for about 20 years herself. We introduced you last time to our selected artist, Jane Liu, who is from Inner Mongolia, currently lives in Beijing, China. And specifically, this series that he has become quite noted for, which is called his Water and Dripping series. He has many accolades and exhibitions to the CV, as well as projects that can be found throughout the world. As I mentioned, we are specifically focusing on connection to his Water and Dripping series, which is a series based on this Tang Dynasty poem that really focuses on the power of water. He comes from a very old literati family in Inner Mongolia and grew up with calligraphy and poetry, and really links a lot of his work to the written word, to poetry, but also to science, which is one of the reasons why we felt it was a great fit for Lanco and the One Health Innovation District. He is represented by Sundram Tagore Gallery. They have galleries in London, New York, and Singapore, and so they are our U.S. representative that we are working with. This is the third project I've worked on with them and Jane Liu, so I have a lot of experience with them. And again, just to illustrate that he is quite capable of making large-scale, architecturally scaled work in the public realm. And just to remind everyone, again, we've been running a selection process for going on maybe a year now, where we engage in a lot of listening. Again, this is the Public Art for Neighborhoods program. For us, first and foremost, it was about learning about our client and what they're interested in. I did have the pleasure about a decade ago actually to interact with Lanco when they moved to their headquarters in Greenwood, so this was the second time I was working with them. But listening to them about what they are looking for out of this project is really important, some of those ideas highlighted, but certainly innovation, the waterway, these were all ideas that came out of our discussions. We then engaged with the neighbors and kind of external stakeholder group that's been involved with the headquarters project, period. So they're not just engaged with this public art component, but they've really been engaged with and listened to throughout the development process of both the headquarters and the Innovation District. So we've been meeting with these folks, we listened to them upfront about what their goals and visions are for a public art project in this area. And again, it was great to hear a lot of the same words. They wanted it to be ambitious, they wanted it to be innovative, reflective of the historic innovation that used to happen to that site, but also connecting future forward with the innovation that's going to be happening there. Connectivity to water, and the fact that this will be one of the first developments to really have the White River at its front door and not a development that's turning its back to the White River, was certainly important to everyone. Selection process, again, through our listening, we then set up criteria. We try to prevent people to have the ability to say, I don't like it. They have to actually point to criteria because this isn't going in someone's living room, it's going outside of a headquarters and in a neighborhood. So architecturally scaled, innovative, and inspiring, those were the words that became the criteria we wanted to point to. Just to remind everyone, our installation site is here at the corner of what will be the new Henry Street Bridge and Innovation Way, and sort of the reconstructed route of White River Parkway. So this will be the terminus of a new part of the Indianapolis Cultural Trail. When you get to that terminus of the trail on the other side of the White River, you would be welcomed by this project. It would become the new gateway beacon for the Valley neighborhood, the One Health Innovation District, and the global headquarters. And on plan, that's again just where the site is located. And another pretty rendering with the location. This is also the new extension of White River State Park to give further context. And so now we're getting into the conceptual proposal. So this is the new information. This is new since we introduced introduced ourselves this summer, you're now reading words that are from the artist. English is not his first language, but he still, I find, is very eloquent. But you will see it is very much about the water. It's about the link between all living things. Water is really the resource that all of us need to thrive. It's about ecology and commerce, the role of water also in manufacturing and in business. If you're following the news, we're obviously hearing a lot about water and how much it's being used for AI and energy and all these sorts of things. So it's really important for us to think of it not only as a resource for all living things, but something we have to think about that is important in manufacturing and in progress. So again, the future of commerce and animal protection. And for him, it's really a symbol of fostering a productive and healthy life together. Our guiding principle is about selecting art for a place and a space. He provided some words that, again, were primarily borrowed from poets and great painters that he admires. But he really is talking about how he believes that this series is the correct approach for this site because of the link to the river. So it's called Water and Dripping River, as a nod to the White River, and it's really about tributaries and the idea of connectivity and these fingers kind of creating networks that go out and touch community and connect community. It is also very much, as Dave said, about the DNA, kind of the action of the double helix and all everything that kind of makes us living beings, and a nod again to the science. And so this is a rendering from the artist. So the raised planter and signage on the kind of offset street corner will become essentially the artwork's pedestal, to raising it further off the ground there as the beacon. I know Dave particularly, I think, likes this view because he feels that he can really see the motion of the double helix and how interactive, or not interactive, rather dynamic, I think the composition is. So these were the big kind of images that spoke to the artist, and I think that also spoke to Elenco. And it's again about water being the thing that connects all life and is necessary for life, about tributaries and the connectivity to neighbors and people, a global headquarters that has tentacles out globally. And again, as Dave said, this catalytic moment, this kind of splash of innovation that leads to innovation. and there, oh, is this, will it just go
30 seconds? No, it does not. It does not automatically play. I just figure that out and make that play.
So the artist.
I'll do this.
That's what the other little cookie is.
I think it'll just keep you down. This is a short animation that was created by the artist to essentially walk you around the sculpture. I think he did put some funky music to it. He's also a huge music guy. Dave was asking me what else he's working on, and he's doing a large installation in Hong Kong. I think he's also producing some sort of music festival. So he's a big sound guy as well. So there again, I think hopefully you see this dynamic action of water, this kind of splashing, this kind of catalytic moment. I also love the surface, which is highly polished stainless steel, which the reflectivity is purposeful, right? Like how many people have gone and seen the Bean in Millennium Park? One of the interactive or special things I think that the public like about that public artwork is that you see yourself in it. And so for Elenco and for the One Health Innovation District, I also think it's about people seeing themselves as part of the solution in terms of all people finding fresh water and clean water that they need. And so I think that's an important element to the sculpture as well.
Thank you.
are probably really funny, sexy stuff of how it gets to the site, which is it will be essentially put in a crate, it's shipped across the ocean flat, and then it is on a flatbed truck. It will be trucked from New York to Indianapolis, where we will have a rigging crew that will, oh, I skipped ahead to that sexy stuff. These were actually just a couple of images we wanted to share to mention. We were really fortunate Jane Lou is in the United States and was able to come to Indianapolis. This happened very suddenly about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was great because we were able to get him on site with our construction crews and architects and really kind of map out for him where the piece would go, which is approximately that cone. And he could really think about scale. I will not be surprised when hopefully we're approved if the sculpture doesn't grow a bit. I know he's keen to ensure that it really stands up to the first story of the building.
That's
Jane Lou with Dave and all of us on site. The unsexy stuff, but this is kind of what makes it happen, right? This is a lighting scheme that he's starting to come up with to suggest that obviously this needs to be very well lit, needs to very much, like the Henry Street Bridge, be a beacon over to the west side, really welcoming you to this area. The crane I had referenced. And again, we require that they begin, he begins speaking about maintenance so that the client understands that, like a baby, artworks require care and feeding once they're put out in the world. Again, it is stainless steel, highly polished, it is alpha grade. It will require cleaning, but essentially it's need to go outdoors. These are our budget figures. The Elanco headquarters project received $64 million in TIP incentives. Therefore, Elanco is required to spend 1% or $640,000 of non-TIP money to support art in a public space that is available to the neighborhood. This breaks down those numbers. As you can see, they have actually increased their investment to make this happen, which I think is, again, a nice gesture that demonstrates their commitment to doing something really wonderful in this area. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate the recap as well as the presentation. Are there any other comments for this?
None.
Okay. Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
Do you have any plans for signage on site to communicate any of your ideas behind it to passersby?
Yes. All the projects that I produce have signage for indoors or outdoors. So not only will the signage contain the basic formal information about the project, artist, medium, scale, things of this nature, but we also provide interpretive information that describes why it was selected, why it is there, so that folks know that this is not merely decor or something that was sort of plopped on site, if you will, but that there was an intentionality that was curated and how it reflects the culture of the valley or of the One Hall Innovation District in Elanco. I also want to speak, Kavita, you asked last time about an educational component or how, since we're bringing in an artist that is not from Central Indiana or Indiana, how we have the project have an impact on our locally based creative community. Edison School for the Arts is also one of our external stakeholders, so we've been working with them throughout. Obviously, we need to have approval to move forward with the project first, but once we do, and Jim has been here, he will come back for installation and dedication. We will work with Edison School for the Arts to have opportunities for the school kids to engage with Jane Lou. His dealer, Susan, will also come and will also be there. So as curators, we will make ourselves available to the school. Additionally, I typically, when I bring in artists, will work with Heron School of Art and Design to do some sort of lecture for the college students that's also open to the public. So those who are interested can come and hear from us. It will probably be more of a group effort because, again, Jane Lou doesn't speak much English, so that's why he's typically there to translate for him, and we will speak about kind of who he is in his practice. I'm just anticipating that question.
Juliet, I always ask you this, I don't know why I ask you again, but we have a requirement to have a note about the program, the arts and work program, the reason why I'm
just. Yes, that has to be part of the
time. And I was going to ask, can we
That I meant, sorry, Sarah probably knows more than others, I carry both indoor and outdoor products.
Okay.
I just meant regardless of where we do work, we always provide our clients with signage. Most of our clients hire us because they want it to be known that the art is purposeful and the art is really there to be reflective of their mission and values as a company. So the, I would imagine that the signage will be discussed and that it will be placed on top of
Yeah, and then Julie, I'll just add, I said this before, last time I've been here, but this is very thorough, this is on a bigger scale than some of our other stuff, but the very thorough and thoughtful process that you've gone through, I think is really upping the game for people to come behind you. So we'll be referencing this presentation for quite a while, so I just appreciate the intense seriousness with which you took this and the obvious dedication of all of you guys going to be here. I think this is going to be a important piece for campus period, especially with this new area being redeveloped in the headquarters coming online. This is, I think, a visual signifier for the whole future of that part.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, feedback? Okay, so committee at this time, there's a ballot in front of you. If you could just complete that, Mark, make any written comments as well as your tabulation proposed.
I will note too, just that, sorry Jay to call you out, but Jay Napoleon of the Valley Neighborhood, I do know this is here. He is one of our external stakeholders, so I just wanted to let the committee know that if you want to hear from the neighborhood stakeholder that is one present.
Seven votes to approve, which is unanimous. John, do you want to read out your comment? Or do you want to make your comment directly?
Well, it's just an overall project, very cool, very, I like that it's nature based. So I like, you know, incorporating the water and just the style of it. So, well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your support. So you can proceed with your project?
Very excited.
Thank you
very much.
And I'll send you a call.
Yeah, you'll get official written notification. And you're more than welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting.
Oh, that's why.
Thank you.
Design team, and then Jason Nessard, our VP of development at there.
Yeah, so a little bit about TRG real quickly. If you aren't familiar with us, we're a large national affordable housing developer and market rate developer. I'm on the market rate team and focus on deals throughout the country, but mainly in Indianapolis. And this project is located at 18th and Meridian Street, right in our backyard, which we love, and is 166 units. And you know, the project that we're really excited about. This is my baby, so I'll talk a little about this, but then leave Jerome for the art piece. But on to the next slide. Here's some renderings here. You'll currently see this project is well underway if you drive by today. And it's right next to a building here, which is Jimmy D's Nail Salon. So kind of just hop into it, but we own right at the property line along Jimmy D's Nail Salon. There's a slight alley there where we plan on having our project located in order to be the most open to the public, viewable area. We consider, we've got other projects like right on Meridian where, we did the Project One Studios Create Freedom Room, which you guys saw earlier. And we're kind of hoping to do something similar where Long Street, people to the public and not a mural or something tucked away in the back. Slowing down, backtracking a little bit here on you guys. But so this project is 166 units of studios, ones, twos. We have some retail space, 1,500 square feet along the bottom. And we'll provide housing for a variety of income ranges. So back to the location. We are really hoping this will be a spot where we can find something, a product that's interactive and will show really, really well right along there along the red line. Next slide, please. This is a top-down view of the project from our landscaping plans, where you can kind of see that alley there, and this is the front entrance to our project. So it'll be something that people walk right by every time they're entering the property, and people walking towards the red line beyond the bus stop will be interacting with them. So part of the selection process, we sent out a notice through the Indy Arts Council, and we also advertised it on our social media platforms in order to get a large feedback and different artists, which are previous artists we've worked with here in town. And we take this very seriously, the artists we select and who we work with. And one thing that drew us to Jerome's proposal was his dedication and the way he showed in his proposal his interest and love for Indianapolis. He showed potential ideas of what he thought he could do for this project, where a lot of other submissions were resumes. We thought Jerome put a lot of thought behind that. So we had him in for an interview to make sure that we felt we were comfortable with Jerome and his capabilities, and that we've got the time and effort to help someone that's local here in town that wants to move on to a bigger and a better project and something that's maybe out of his typical comfort zone. And that's what we're doing here today by presenting in front of you guys. So Jerome showed all those great qualities, and same with Danielle and his team. So we were honored to interview him and finally select him. And now I'm gonna let Jerome introduce himself and talk about the project.
All right, greetings everyone. My name is Jerome Goff. I'm a local artist here in Indianapolis. This is Match State Design. My partner Danielle's back here. And I'm also an art teacher in the community over at Christmas Harris High School. Just a little bit about Match State Design. We started doing community design and expanded our projects to include corporate space here in the city and also in the city of Terre Haute as well. These are some mural projects. Different graffiti projects. This is my Port Noir art style over here. This was a Juneteenth mural that I did in Terre Haute. This was a corporate project, a design wrap for Barrett and Stokely that I designed. This is one of our themed Airbnbs, which actually is in Terre Haute, and it has an Art Deco Great Gatsby thing to it, which kind of leads me into the next slide. All right, so the concept narrative for this project is called Echoes of Heritage, and the installation is a futuristic and historic tribute to Meridian Street and its significance. So inspired by Art Deco design, the L-shaped structure represents both the city's rich architectural heritage and its forward-thinking development. So this bench also includes a train design highlighting how the history of 18th Meridian was a very popular transportation hub in the 1920s and 30s. All right, so, So the vibrant neon lighting and blues and pinks, this installation brings a modern energy to the streetscape, symbolizing the convergence of the past and the future. So this is basically merging the past of Art Deco, which was a period where architecture was blooming, kind of mixed with the futuristic elements. So this is a this is one rendering of the bench design, being it is Art Deco, and also having like a train design at the bottom to represent that 18th and Meridian was a very popular street route during this time of expansion. So this is a functional sculpture, and again, it anchors in the timeline that made Meridian Street one of the most prominent corridors in the city, which was pretty much the connecting corridor from downtown to pretty much where the suburbs were, like past 38th Street, you know, at one point in time. So this is a tribute to Meridian Street's architectural innovation and the way it kind of spawned as it being like the main corridor. So this is how the installation will look, very Art Deco, sleek and modern, and a functional piece of art as well that you'll be able to sit down on. It's something, you know, that will make a great photo op for the city, and again, like I said, honors that architectural legacy of Meridian Street. So this is a little bit about the design, or the size of the design. It's kind of showing 8 feet. Between 6 feet, about 7 feet long.
So it's popping here too. This kind of plan is kind of use some lighting to kind of add some different vibrance and depth to the project.
Yeah, so the lighting, like again, it has that sleek architecture. It kind of reminds me of a skyscraper when you look at it, attributed to the Art Deco style, but also has those modern neon lights to give it a slight futuristic touch to it. And to talk about the materials, this will be a fiberglass shell with a reinforced fiberglass base with flange anchors, which is kind of, if I can show you, flange is basically holding the structure down on the concrete. The bench seat will be made of fiberglass designed to give the appearance of wood planks. And we want to do that because we don't want to use actual wood because it'll wear over time. And it'll be an epoxy-based primer, industrial urethane with a metallic gold silver finish to it. And then also a clear coat on the top, fabricated wood. Next slide, please. And this is where the structure will sit. This is 18th and Meridian Street right here, and it'll be perpendicular to the road. So if this is north, the bench will be facing out this way. So you can have a view of the red line and kind of view the street as cars drive by. So we didn't want it to be necessarily parallel, but we kind of wanted to offset so it would stand out.
This is kind of getting to the nitty gritty of it a little bit, kind of just showing for the committee members that had the presentation, you know, the exact, you know, area around it and how it'll fit in with between the two buildings. Don't need to go too much into detail here, but QG, you know, could provide conduit and other systems to help make this project come to life. So here's a street view as it currently sits, as the project is, you know, coming together here, so you kind of get the size and spacing a little better. Really excited about how this will kind of be the entrance to this alleyway and kind of add, you know, a little bit of character to something that, you know, is typically a little mundane. And then, yeah, so, you know, perpendicular part of it, just everything. So kind of walking you through the timeline here of, you know, what we've been through already and where we're going. Obviously, we took our time with the selection process and have been working with Jerome and his team to refine the design for where it sits today. You know, we worked with Julia to make sure, you know, it's not signage and it really is art. So there's been a lot of thought put behind this. And we're, you know, obviously hoping for approval today to be able to move forward with your ideas, you know, any feedback you have, to be able to get this into fabrication and have this installed by our product opening, which will be next spring, late spring, I would say. By 5/31 when our product is set to be complete. So we're really looking forward to having this ready for our new residents and the community.
All right, so this talks about the budget. We have the budget due to the cost of the development, $42,930. We have the artist fee. This is the pricing of the creation materials. And then we also have additional liability insurance, you know, in lieu of anything.
So just so everyone's aware, you know, based upon our public incentive from the city of Indianapolis with the TIF, our public art amount is 1% of that amount, so that's when we came to the $43,000 number. The number will be a little higher with the, you know, extra assistance and QG puts in with any wiring or site work that needs to be done, landscaping around the area. So just want to be clear of that for everyone. And that's it, so we're happy to field any questions and feedback, and thank you guys for your time.
I have a few questions. It's hard to tell from the rendering. But from where you're placing the bench, will there still be like ADA access on the side of the pathway? Like it's not going to block.
So on the left side, on the right side will actually just kind of be like landscaping and grassy area, and then on the left side will be a walkway, which will be all ADA. Appropriate. We have an ADA consultant which actually ensures our projects are compliant and they're out on site every month.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And the other question I had was so the sculpture lights up, and oftentimes we see sculptures that light up aren't like being maintained, the light kind of fills out. So, can you talk a little bit about the maintenance plan for the piece? Because it's a really cool project, but I would hate for those like neon lighting components that you're talking about to dull over time.
Yeah. So we'll let obviously the artists put together a maintenance plan as part of our agreement. But QBG takes great pride in a lot of all those properties, and you'll kind of see that around town. If you drive by any of our projects, we keep them well maintained, cleaned up. Chase and myself will sometimes walk around picking up trash outside of our office on East Washington Street. So this will be well maintained. We have that money set aside within our operating budget annually to maintain and addressing those concerns. So the signage will, the plan is that, I don't know if you can go back to the slide, there's a pillar. Right here. So our plan to put the signage kind of so it's on that pillar so everyone's able to view it and, you know, it'll be in the location and being very clear without interfering with our.
Remind me on the red line, is there a stop here?
Yes, so there's a stop directly in front of the art project.
Great.
So,
okay, so you're getting a ton of this.
Any other questions about the Stella project? Any comments from the public that's in here today? Well, thank you, Jerome.
Thank you, guys. If you have any questions later, we're happy to feel free to reach out to us and inform. We're happy to address anything. So, appreciate it.
Thank you. So,
Okay, there are seven votes to approve, which is unanimous. All good, guys.
All right, congratulations. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, team.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate that. We'll get written notification. All right, now we're going to move into reviewing our second set of applications for the public park for Dave Grant. So if you want to log into the grant system, use the address that's up on the screen. You can do that to access the application and the storage feature. For everyone, this is a program that is funded by the developers' contributions to the Public Arts Neighborhood Fund. They're eligible for the program and have not selected to use their 1% spend on public art project. And by ordinance, these funds are spent on encouraging art activities in Marion County neighborhoods that are free and open to the public. There is another ordinance requirement that 50% of the grant funds must support projects in neighborhoods with median income at or below 130% of the current federal poverty level. And so Julia will make note of that during the meeting, which applications are set in those neighborhoods. And we do have several in this final round tonight. Applicants can request up to $5,000 for their projects. And we fully anticipate granting them the fund remaining in the grant pool, so there will be no additional rounds until the Public Arts Neighborhood Fund is replenished with more developer contributions in the next few years. Let's see. Applicants have been invited to this meeting so they can answer direct questions from the committee. If they are not here, Julia will answer questions to the best of her ability and knowledge about each of the programs and their application materials that have been presented, as well as any discussions that she has had with the applicant. Committee members have had a chance to review the applications online and make a preliminary score. The purpose of this session is to have an open discussion among the committee members to identify each application's strong points and items needing more development, as well as to award a score that will contribute to the award decision. No awards will be announced today, but the scores will be announced after each application discussion. An award offer will be made to the applicants next week based on that score, with funds given out from the highest to the lowest scoring applications, starting with applications that come from those low-income neighborhoods. We intend to fully fund all eligible applicants as long as funds are available, unless they have been proposed expenses that are not allowable, and then those costs will be deducted from the grant request. And just to point out why low-income neighborhoods and why we prioritize those neighborhoods, the way the ordinance was written, there was concern that applications would come primarily from higher resource and higher capacity neighborhoods. And so the drafters of that ordinance wanted to give lower-income communities an equitable opportunity to receive these funds. And at the time, the designation was 138% of the federal poverty level as a cutoff, and which a person or family may qualify for Medicaid in states that have expanded their Medicaid coverage, as Indiana has. And so it was a good metric to use for low-income at the point that the ordinance was written. And that, so it was written that the ordinance was award half of the grant funds to those low-income neighborhoods. So far, in the 2024 funding program, we've granted 34% of those allocated funds to those neighborhoods, out of the 82% of the total pool. So we're behind on making progress on that 50%, which is why we are prioritizing funding applications this round for low-income communities. Functionally, that looks like allocating funds first to the low-income communities, whose applications score high enough to be funded in the semi-score order until we reach that 50%.
threshold, and then going back and allocating any leftover funds to other high-scoring applications. Today, we have 9 applications to review, and then the rest have been tabled until November 6th. Committee members, again, if you haven't done so already, feel free to log in, click on My Review Assignments, Start Review at the Public Art Playbook graphic. And for this review, we're going to go in numerical order.
Just a little change.
Yeah, there's one applicant who is on a plane and isn't going to be here late, so we're going to delay her review just a little bit. But we're going to start with, is it still with Ashley?
We're still starting with that.
Okay. And so the first artist is Ashley Robinson, who proposes to work with Frederick Douglass Park to temporarily install a large pre-existing artwork at the Family Center. The grant request is $5,000. This project is not located in a public art desert and is not located in an area considered lower income. Any questions that we...
No, she's here.
I actually have a question. How come?
It's not designated for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's an artwork right there at the park. Right there, the traffic signal box that's right there.
Oh, yes, that one traffic
signal box. And then a block away, there's that mural that helps someone on the mural.
Yeah. I was concerned about that. I don't know. But
it is not. It is not considered.
Yeah, but because there is public art, it cannot be considered a designated.
Okay, so that box and that one piece.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yes.
That's interesting. Everybody read through the project?
Yeah, you know, you can do it ahead of the presentation.
So okay. Just be available.
Okay. To see if it's possible. So we did not receive any public comments about this.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know how that works.
A lot of times people kind of get their community to
okay.
In, but you already had, but you had some.
And I also have.
You have letters that came in with the application, so that's okay.
And then also the Martindale Brightwood Community Development Corporation also.
Okay, so this is new.
This is new. That was
okay.
New. That was good.
So
I made a copy for everybody.
Okay, I'm going to read it out loud. I can give everybody a copy, but I have to read it out loud. I'm ready to express my support for Ashley Ash Robinson's proposal to install her art piece near here at the Frederick Douglass Family Center in the Martindale Brightwood neighborhood as part of the Public Art Neighborhoods grant. Ashley's work captures the essence of our historically black neighborhood, which has long been a symbol of resilience, strength, and unity within Indianapolis. Ash Robinson is an accomplished African-American artist based in Indianapolis. Her work, rooted in black portraiture and multimedia expression, beautifully reflects the pride and perseverance of the black community. Her vision for We Are Here aligns perfectly with the spirit of Martindale Brightwood, a community known for its rich cultural history and its ongoing commitment to championing black voices and stories. With notable exceptions, such as Cause and Effect at the State Museum and the Butter Fine Art Fair, as well as fellowships from the Arts Council of Indianapolis, Robinson's artistic achievements make her more than qualified to take on such a significant public art project. Her work would bring a meaningful contribution to our community, inspiring future generations and honoring the resilience and culture that defines Martindale Brightwood. I endorse Ash Robinson's application for the Public Art Neighborhoods Grant, and I believe that her artwork will have a profound impact on our community by reflecting and amplifying the voices of its residents. Thank you for considering the project. This is sincerely Joy Merman, Deputy Director of Martindale Brightwood Community Development.
Yeah, the only question I have is,
are there no other comments? No, there are no other comments.
The only question I have was, as in notice, was there a specific agreement already with the parks?
It is. Is there any other comments?
That was one of my questions. Just was the piece commissioned by the Indy?
No. So I was born and raised in that neighborhood. I'm just my grandparents moved in that neighborhood about 60 years ago, one street over from Douglass Park. So it's been a part of my upbringing forever. And even my parents' upbringing has been part of theirs. So once I saw the new family center,
and I don't know if you've ever been in there, but there's no art anywhere. And I was like, it would be great to have this, you know, it would be great to have my piece here, you know, while they're trying to figure out what they need to do, you know. And as soon as I contacted the parks, they were right on. They appreciated it and was like, yes, a person from the neighborhood. And I also think it inspired the kids from the neighborhood as well.
And so is the application budget mentioned a loan or a deposit for potential purchase?
So that's all my idea. They're behind it as well. They just don't have the funds. So we're just trying to figure out, you know, steps on how to get me paid in a way, you know, to have this piece there.
Cool. Assume liability. Will it have the insurance to cover it while it's at the center?
Well, right now, while I was there for the 6 months. If it gets bought, we'll figure out that another time. But right now, I'll have my insurance to cover the damage.
And so after 6 months, they don't have funding to cover the remaining costs. It just becomes your...
Yeah, it becomes my property again. Yes, yes.
Is there an opportunity for the Parks Foundation to step in to offset, or?
I'm hoping so. I'm in talks with the Martindale Brightwood Community Development Corporation. Really, all of our talks right now have been talking about programming around the piece.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get like a good opening, you know, trying to select those things so everybody in the community can be a part of it. So right now we haven't talked about that, but I of course those are the discussions in the future.
Can you just define the difference between the two sets of fees? You had I think it was installer and deinstaller, or install and deinstall. Just there was a question from a committee member about what's the difference.
Oh, they're good. I didn't combine them. I just yeah. They were two separate fees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions or feedback?
I can give a comment.
Yeah.
Well, we're the firm that designed the Art Center, and so a lot of the artwork got value engineered out. So I see this as a huge uptick for the entire center. It's going to give a tremendous amount of exposure from publishing because the center's been outperforming any expectation. So for those, I think you'll want to go.
Is that the engineering firm?
Meticulous, the architecture.
Okay, because the engineering firm actually bought a piece of mine, and that's another connection I have. If I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it would be so great if this was here. So.
You're eligible for funding. The funding decision will come,
and we got to go all
Okay, so now we're going to
Chow?
Yeah. Okay, that's what Julie Chow is going to propose her work for the
She doesn't have to do a proposal.
Well, no, she has proposed her work for the Fort Bend Library, so she's going to paint a mural celebrating the folks diversity of the neighborhood. The grant request is $5,000. It's not located in the public art desert, and it's not located in an area considered lower income. So just ask that you review that application again. Are there any questions?
I don't know if this makes sense, but like a lot of the people in the Lawrence neighborhood do go to the Fort Bend Library, so I don't know.
I would just say this is a very thorough application, I appreciate all the details.
I did have a full comment.
Oh.
I'm going to read that.
Sorry.
That's okay. This is the one that people, she checked a lot of them, so it's from Dale Ease. I would like to advocate for the selected project proposal. I am familiar with the artist and the business. I know to be fair, equitable, and reputable. I hope to see more funding go to individual artists and nonprofits rather than large corporations.
Okay, John, sorry.
Great job.
All right, well, if you can update your score or leave your previous score in. Let me know if you're changing it when you're ready.
I
application from a community group.
Is that labeled that way?
4536.
Oh, okay. Dancing Way. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it says Dancing Way. Okay. It's the actual name on this grant.
So this is a group proposing to work with artist Christina Holler and murals on some concrete rest benches in the park. They also plan to refurbish the rest areas. So this application is just for the mural funding. The grant request is $5,000. It's not located on public art desert. It's not located in an area considered low income. Is there anyone here? Okay, great. So you'll be available to answer questions. Thank you. Any public comments about the project?
Yes, we have several. From James and Susan Seats, Skiles Test Nature Park is unique in Indianapolis because it is a natural setting that people from any part of the city can access and enjoy. Ms. Hollering's work is lyrical, uplifting, and inviting, and would be a place for people to sit, rest, contemplate, and rejuvenate their spirits. We support. From Kevin Senator, I fully support this Public Art Neighborhoods Grant application for Skiles Test Nature Park. This initiative would be a great way to re-educate the park's users of Skiles Test biodiversity, both the woodland and prairie settings. With a resurgence in the number of visitors to the park, this initiative would be very beneficial and impactful. I believe the more people know about their natural surroundings, the more they will take ownership and care for it. From Karen Praya, I support the grant application for the Friends of Skiles Test Nature Park. This park is a hidden gem in the heart of Avalon Hills and the Avalon Hills and Devonshire neighborhoods. I am a frequent walker at the park and have participated in the annual park cleanups. People love to spend time in beautiful places, and this will only make this beautiful area even better. From John Kunzer, supports this project. From Robert Whitmore, as a longtime and frequent user of Skiles Test Nature Park, I strongly support this project. Improvements in recent years have enhanced the park experience for a growing number of walkers, trail hikers, cyclists, and bird watchers, and this art project will surely inspire visitors to appreciate the beauty around them. This is from Robin Marsh. My family has lived in Avalon Hills for 30 years. We walk the Skiles Test Nature Park trail almost every day. We've noticed an increase in the number of families using the park. We think the new artwork at the seating areas would attract even more families. That's it.
Does the committee have any questions about the project they would like to ask the applicant?
I was wondering where the rest of the funding is coming from. Did I miss that? Like, does it say it's a $12,000 project?
Yeah, we are going to apply for more grant funding or do some fundraising.
What's your communication plan once the benches have been removed, so that as people are wondering what's going on?
So we have conducted a survey of the park users, and we have probably about 100 some names of people who want to be updated. We're doing an instructive newsletter to all of those. Also, we work with the Bidford Redevelopment Group. They have a list of about 2,000 and some school system information out in their newsletter. Christina Hollery has the idea of doing an Instagram page so that people can submit their photos of the park, and she can use that too for inspiration for what the actual art that she uses. Personally, I think we're going to be reaching out to doing some media, trying to include the media involved. I think it's a wonderful story. The park, as the application said, has been in disrepair for several years and is making its comeback. Even before that, it was in bad shape. thanks to the Parks Department and I think our group and also the Vineyard Redevelopment Group. And so when we did this the survey, we are finding we get people from all around. I mean, our zip code as well as to the south, to the east, and it really, it sits on the edge of 462, but it really draws from all around that area. And I know some of the areas that it draws from are low income as well. You know, there isn't, you can go to Fort Bend, you have to pay. Here you can come, there's no fees, it's smaller, but people can come and walk on the nature trails or have a picnic or spend time. And I guess we want to make nature available to all people, you know.
Have you received any, I know you answered, asked part of this, but any pending funding announcements during any of your applications that you've already submitted? Or any other?
Well, we haven't, this is our first grant. We went for, or we're thinking about a neighborhood. Our COVID score was 2.5, so that was how we then Allie is our park manager and she brought this idea to us and we applied obviously and talked with Julia and she said that maybe the park COVID cards for all might be something also to apply for. We have a little bit of money in our coffers, but we're just kind of starting to get going. But we also have some fundraising ideas as well. I mean, we're dedicated to it. We really are.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
I just like to make, you know, I really like your project. My concerns would be that you don't have other funding in that, and I know you have to start somewhere. Yeah. So that would be
also,
my
hope. There's a variety of options of scaling our adjusting the project based on the funding that we received.
Okay.
So some of the edging and the River Rock was included in that budget, but we would focus on getting our work and then assembling the projects afterwards.
I will say we do have a verbal agreement for funding of $2,000 from the Denver Redevelopment for 2025. So we could use that for it as well.
Any updates to the score? Let me know, and then Julia will take that as a payment. Okay, just one second. Daily needs. I would like to
advocate for the selected project proposals. I am familiar with each of the problems of the artists and our businesses. I know that to be fair, equitable, and reputable, I hope to see more funding go to individual artists and nonprofits rather than large corporations.
Do the committee have any questions about the project they want to ask the applicant? Any further comments from the committee? All right, so please add your final score, so they can review your score, and also get those tabulated.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Everything's cool.
All right, I hear the total number of possible choices, 900, and then we're going to start probably at 720.
Ready, man? $92.5, we're eligible for funding.
All right, so if you could just please make notification before you proceed with your project.
Sure will, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear about the International District Community Center on the west side, who proposes to work with artist Teresa Reynolds to host a cultural event in May 2025 that will celebrate the arts while highlighting the diverse cultural identities of the community. The grant request is $5,000. The project is not located in a public art desert and is not located in an area considered lower income. If you're recognized as an application, thank you. Any other comments?
None.
Does the committee have any questions about the project? Would you like to ask the applicant?
What is this listed as?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's listed as Abby Harlan. Are you Abby?
I am Abby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. When I talked about
4711, sorry.
Number 47, yeah. 4711.
Oh, yes. Teresa's under arrest, but somehow I'm not there with this.
Do you have any comment, any questions?
Sarah's just checking in. All right, let us know what your final score is. Engagement of the community. What are the classes will be free?
My impression is that they are.
there any information about accessibility?
That was not, there was no mention of that.
Any final comments? Any changes to your score? If you could just update those. City attorney, any final scores? All good.
Very good. 93.57 is eligible for funding.
Our next application is 4785A Paul Johnson. Proposes to work with St. Matthew's Church for a committee center to produce a free concert featuring international folk songs. The grant request is $5,000. Project is not located in a public art desert, is not located in an area considered lower income. Thank you for being here to answer our questions. If there are any public comments with this project?
Yes, from Melissa Jester. In combination with the newly formed Irvington Arts Collective, he, I'm assuming that he's Paul, is really pushing community programs for the neighborhood and is encouraging community engagement. This one is from Cheryl Krogan. I fully support the program that Paul Johnson has planned. This program will draw in the community based on the spring 2024 concert we put together.
Any questions, Paul?
Thank you. How many people attended your last concert? You said there was another concert. How many people came to your last concert?
About 100.
Okay. And is that kind of what you anticipate for this one as well?
Probably more young people, because last summer Moorhead and St. Matthew's started working together to provide space for the summer school kids. So we did want to get them involved, learn some of the folk songs in the program. So they will bring, we hope, friends and family.
And forgive me, and I probably forgot what it said, but how do you get your word out about your, how do you advertise your concerts?
Well, as Ms. Grogan said, it's probably going to be word of mouth. I mean, last year's concert, I mean, they were, people who didn't know each other were weeping and hugging each other. So that gets out. But we do also put notices in some of the local papers and posters up in the library.
Nice, okay. Very good, thank you.
Any other comments? Questions from the committee? All right, update your scores. Let me know when you're ready, if you need to change it.
Okay. 82.14, you are eligible for funding.
All right, thank you, Paul. Please await your notification that it's before proceeding.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, we're going to circle back.
Claire.
Claire is here.
No, she is not. Apparently her plane did not make it in time.
All right.
I put it in the agenda, trying to keep it. We're going to do it.
We're still going to review it, so.
Okay.
This, Claire Wallenbeck, this application 3810. Proposing to partner with Downtown Indy Inc. to work with filmmaker Donna Weatherly to create a video highlighting Monument Circle with a musical selection played by Claire. The grant request is $5,000, is not located in the public art desert, and is not located in the low income neighborhood. So there's no one here to answer any questions. Does the committee have any?
There were no public comments.
Okay. So no public comments. Does the committee have any questions or comments? One question about how to connect the new online users. There was reference to like the existing social media accounts. I was just wondering if they're wanting to have new people be engaged, what the plan was to actually connect new users to the project or to arts.
Yeah.
would be nice to hear more about plans for the work for the future, that it's not just a video that goes into the ether along with all the other ones, but it might show in a different setting with the other works. And yeah, I think that was a big question there.
Yeah, it lives online, gets shared, but I don't know if it's this way.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Any updates?
Do you know that the other neighborhoods she's been doing, are they?
She did one at the Arts Garden, and another one you will see in our next group. She's doing one at Speed
Way. It's on the other.
Yes, it is the same.
I'm more inclined to in my opinion, downtown gets lavish with attention. Monument Circle has not had, I mean, literally tens of millions of dollars have gone to visiting the and hundreds of millions of dollars visiting, but to downtown the Inc. And literally no exaggeration, zero to every other cultural district. So it'd be nice to see this more broadly downtown and park in that location, just like having participated in funding the downtown investment, I'd like to see other parts of the city have a more so.
Well, especially with a partner like Downtown Indy, I would like to see a little more detail about how they're
for some participation.
Really participating in the outreach of public education.
Are your final scores in?
I told her already, but I keep track of it.